Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, Friday afternoon, July the 25th, hot AF. Yeah, God, for those of you working outside, for those of you in and out of vehicles, God bless all of you. Hey, you know, I apologize that sometimes things get ugly on this show when it comes to politics. But, you know, we're all serious about politics because we're in very interesting times. I've been around a long time, and I've been doing radio and talk radio for a long, long time. And I've just never seen anything like this. Some think it's great. Some people think it's horrific. Some people like me are just concerned. I'm concerned. And so I talk about those concerns, and sometimes I get a little passionate about it. But, you know, I mean, I'm still Scoot. I'm still the same guy who was Scoot in the morning years ago. I'm Scoot on the air now, since it's not the morning show, and Scoot on the air works with my Facebook page, Scoot on the Air. Scoot on the Air works better with my Substack account. I hope you'll join me and become a subscriber. Just download the Substack app and join me on Substack. Become a subscriber. And I'm bringing you some really good information and good videos. And a lot of times it's comments on breaking news, and sometimes it's just fun things. So again, I hope you'll join me on Facebook, Instagram as well, Scoot on the Air Instagram. And I've got to get caught up with many of the messages that are on Facebook and Instagram, and trust me that I will. I've been really focusing on getting Substack established, so we're just getting that launched. So I hope you'll join me on Substack as soon as you can, and subscribe. So we've got a lot to talk about this afternoon. And when I hear about the chairman of the FCC, handpicked by President Trump, because president's pick, that's not unusual. President's pick the head of the FCC. The FCC, Federal Communication Commission, is a government agency. It's part of the executive branch of government, I guess. I mean, it's just part of the administration. It's part of the government. But up to this point, the FCC has regulated the media. And now, more than ever, it seems like under Donald Trump, it's getting involved in trying to change and control the content of the media, which defies the First Amendment. And so it's kind of scary. And I do believe that there was consideration given to Donald Trump and what he likes and doesn't like when it comes to CBS canceling The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. I know finances was a big part of it as well. But Donald Trump took such pleasure in that cancellation that I know it was a gesture. Whether Donald Trump asked for it or not, or CBS just gave it to him, I think the pressure that the FCC would ban this merger between Paramount, which owns CBS, and Skydance, that they would ban that, I think that encouraged CBS to make this gesture to Donald Trump. So pressure from the president may have played a part in the canceling of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. And Stephen Colbert was known to build his comedy on attacking Trump every single night. But there was a crazy audience for that. He was number one among the late night talk shows on broadcast TV. So there was an audience for that. And up to this point, it's been the audience that determines what's on TV or what's on the radio. It's the audience that determines what is popular and what is not, not the government. And so when it appears as if the government's involved, you know, I'm going to be concerned, and I'm going to pass that concern on to you. So the FCC chair says that CBS's promise to drop bias and DEI programming made the difference in them deciding yesterday to approve the merger between Paramount Global and Skydance Media. That's what determined it for them. So the FCC is listening to the gestures from CBS. They're canceling certain things that Trump might find offensive. They're canceling certain things that some conservatives might find offensive. And again, I think this is a dangerous thing because, you know, if you get, you can't count Joe Biden as a like an active Democrat who was president because he was called Sleepy Joe for a reason. I mean, the guy was sleepy. He was not a powerful president. But what if you get some renegade, not progressive, but you get some renegade moderate Democrat in office? He's going to have the power to do the same thing Trump is doing, but in the other direction. And if a Democrat gets in the White House, hey, that's going to be great for talk radio. So I'm going to embrace that. You know, plus if things go too far one way, I like him to swing back the other way. But since so much of this involves the concept of being woke, which for so many people is such a bad thing, and I believe that woke, you know, can get out of control. Woke is just a new, updated version of political correctness. In theory, it's the same thing. Here's a definition of woke. A heightened awareness of social injustices and inequalities, particularly those relating to race and discrimination. But the term has also become highly challenged and is often seen both positive and in a negative way. But if you're so into being anti-woke, would you explain to me how woke has affected you? What has woke done to you? Again, don't speak for the country. Well, it's bad for America. You know, these shows are bad. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear how it's bad for you. Can anybody explain how woke has personally impacted their lives? And in what way? The Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Ian, I'm sure you'll agree that there's just been a lot of hysteria about the concept of woke, and conservative media pushes this idea that woke is bad. And, you know, I think some things go too far. But the idea of being aware of inequalities seems to me to be in the spirit of being an American.
Yeah.
And I just don't know, with all the people who are so riled up about, yeah, woke is bad. Okay, explain to me how woke has impacted you as an individual.
I will let the audience speak to that truth for themselves. I suspect I know what the answer is, even if people don't really find the right words to articulate it. But, you know, I like the definition you read. To me, that sounds, that kind of rings true. You know, to be woke, before conservatives seized on it and repackaged it as something else, it meant to be thoughtful and compassionate and well-informed. And it meant that you didn't ask other people to prove their humanity to you in order to gain your respect. It means you want the world to be a better place for everyone, not just yourself. Coming to America, and, you know, establishing a new nation that's based on, you know, individual freedoms and freedom of religious oppression and persecution, that's woke. Freeing the slaves is woke. Making it possible that people of two different racial backgrounds can get married and have a family, that's woke. Giving non-white people the right to vote in this country, that's woke. Giving gay and lesbian and queer people the right to, you know, live and work in the world, you know, free from discrimination or harassment, that's woke. I mean, the world is just getting woker all the time. This really goes like all the way back to the Enlightenment. So the idea,
the Age of Enlightenment, yeah, exactly, and that goes back, right. You know, that goes back hundreds
that's
and hundreds
five,
of years.
600 years ago. You know, it's just the evolution of human thought and the idea that we can gain more out of this life by treating each other with respect and decency, just as a baseline, instead of demanding that you do something to make me give that to you. And it makes me, I laugh at CBS saying, oh yeah, oh, we'll get rid of all the DEI, sir. Columbia University, oh, we're going to get rid of all the DEI. They know the writing is on the wall and that in 3 years, they are going to go right back to doing what they've done with their DEI programs and all their woke courses and all their woke programming. Why? Because it's good for business. Companies that have DEI practices that are well functioning And I'm, you know, let's just pause for a minute to say they don't always work well. Sometimes they go awry and they cause more harm than there is benefit. But if they're well executed, those companies are more profitable, more innovative. They're better at retaining talent because this is at the core of human decency. This is what we all want from each other. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Yeah,
that's what woke is.
That's right out of the Bible. I think the Bible
is very woke. It sounds somewhat familiar, doesn't
it?
Yeah.
And you know, look, here's a real basic example of woke. Saying happy holidays at Walmart when people are coming in during the holidays, that's woke. But it's also good for business because not everybody celebrates Christmas. And I have never been offended by happy holidays because when somebody tells me, a Christian, a Catholic who celebrates Christmas, when I hear happy holidays, I just translate that into that's part of Christmas because Christmas is part of the holidays. So, hey, happy holidays to you too. Why have we gone out of our way to be offended about things that really shouldn't offend us? And it's because, you know, again, we go back to this idea that there's anger in America and conservatives have taken. Look, this is not all conservatives and not all Republicans. But there are people in the conservative media in that echo chamber who have seized upon the moment to turn woke into attention, which turns into revenue, which turns into, you know, ratings and then revenue. So they've made woke a commercial thing, or being against woke a commercial campaign to lead to ratings and then to lead to revenue. And people are already afraid that they're losing who they are. You're not losing who you are. If you lose who you are not that set on who you were in the first place. Nobody can take away who you are. The government can't take away who you are. Nobody's taking away who I am. I'm who I want to be. I'm who I am. Honestly, on the air, off the air, I'm who I want to be. And you can be who you want to be. And man, don't believe this BS that somehow the government or being woke is taking anything away from you and your family. Because I don't think it is. And if you want to join us, what has woke taken from you? How has woke impacted your life? The Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870.
Before we go one step further, let's be clear about historically where this term originated. And it wasn't with latte sipping limousine liberals in New York and Massachusetts and Los Angeles. It was with black people.
That's right.
Here's a text that says, woke is about being informed. It pertains to black people understanding disparities. White people don't want black people informed on the truth. You know, it pertains to black people understanding disparities in spite of white people not wanting them to understand
right.
that.
But honestly, I don't think a lot of people know the origin of woke.
No.
They just know woke as it's filtered through the conservative echo chamber.
There's a text here also that says woke started out good, but then it was hijacked by liberal white people. I don't think I quite agree with that. I think black America not only invited or begged, but demanded white people to meet them where they were in 2014, 15, 16, when we start kind of having this national awakening about, oh my God, we are not living in a post-racial society. The whole Black Lives Matter movement is predicated on the fact that Black America is calling us in and saying, please, please do whatever you can to see the world through our lens. Walk in our shoes for a mile, you know? I don't think that liberal white people like yanked that out of the hands of black people who are trying to be protective of it.
And you're not less of a person because you understand how other people live. You're not less of a person. I mean, I think in the eyes of God, you're a better person. But look, let's also clear this up. Comedy is exempt from woke. You know, the basis of comedy is that it's not woke. And comedy is an exaggeration of real life. And no matter what the comedy is, everybody, no matter what the joke is, everybody's not going to be happy. Some people are going to be laughing their asses off, and some people are going to be highly offended. Well, it's comedy. You shouldn't be offended by comedy.
We are getting some reasonably well-articulated comments from people on the text line saying how woke has affected them. So, great. it's good. That was the assignment. You're doing it. We'll come back and we'll read some of those.
Okay. And if also, if you're on hold, hang on. We're going to get back to your calls. But with all of this hysteria about woke, tell me how woke has impacted you. The Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. You know, when I think about how the administration is handling this Jeffrey Epstein thing, I just think about the lies. I mean, there are reports that Donald Trump is very nervous. What does that mean? I said this yesterday. You can't be in that many pictures with the same person in that many different situations over that many years without really knowing and sharing something in common with that guy. What do they share in common? Well, we've got some ideas. We don't know for sure, but we've got ideas. But there's a lot of lying going on about this. And don't expect to get the truth from the Department of Justice interviewing Ghislaine Maxwell. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back. This is
Moms, Dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
WWL. All right. Former U.S. Congressman George Santos. It's 3:30 on the East Coast. He should be in prison right now. He was supposed to report it at 2:00. He should be in prison right now, probably dressed in his prison garb, his prison outfit. You know, George Santos, among other things, was a cross-dresser. Now, he dressed up in ladies' clothes. You'd be surprised how many Republicans are cross-dressers. That's not just some whacked-out liberal thing. There are Republicans who are cross-dressers. I mean, I know some. So it's not my opinion. It's a fact. 7 years in prison. He said that's like a death sentence for him. He pled guilty last summer to federal wire fraud, aggravated identity theft charges, deceiving donors, stealing people's identities in order to commit fraud and to just to fund his campaign. I mean, this guy was like a disaster, and he was a Republican. And it just goes to show you that it's not just Democrats. In the minds of many conservatives, only Democrats do bad things. So the only reason I make a distinction is just to remind you that being a crook and being dishonest is a bipartisan thing. It's not just a left thing. Anyway, if he brings some of his dresses to prison, he would be very popular. I'm not going to quote the line from Deliverance, but I will say he sure has a pretty face. All right, let's go to Gretna. Jimmy, you're on WWL. Hey, Jimmy.
No, it's Joe.
Oh, hey, Joe. I'm sorry. Okay, we got a new phone system in here. We're kind of adjusting it. Joe, go ahead. You're on WWL.
No problem. How are you feeling today, Scooter?
I'm good, Joe.
I was calling about. I see that you have a fascination with Rare Contrail. Did I hear right that there's a 55-year low in murders? Is that correct?
Oh yeah. We're doing really great with crime.
Okay. I don't hear you speaking on that, but I hear you talking about her traveling and things like that. I figure that whatever she's doing, wherever she's traveling or whoever she's talking to, she must be doing something right if the murder rate is at a 55-year low.
Yeah.
Don't you agree?
Yeah, she did the right thing in selecting Ann Kirkpatrick as the police chief.
Oh, so now it's Kirkpatrick. Anything that she do right, you brushes it off and it's somebody else. But anytime something goes wrong, it's blame Contrail.
Oh, no,
blame
that's not Contrail. True. No, I don't blame her for everything. I just blame her for the things that she's guilty of.
So she's, like I said, with the murder rate there down to 55-year low, you don't think she had anything to do with that?
Yeah, but you know what? Look, Joe, look, it's great that it's happening in New Orleans, but the murder rate is going down nationally around the country.
Oh, man, you're minimizing.
Well,
you
I'm telling you the truth, Joe.
You are minimizing.
Tell me what Cantrell did
you
to
really lo- look, you, you're tell really me. Acting, you're really acting right. Joe, like a bitter beast.
Joe, tell me what
you
Cantrell.
Are.
Joe, tell me what Cantrell
you
did.
Joe, like,
are you going to have a conversation with me, or do you want us to just cut you off and talk about you? It's your choice.
No, you can do whatever you want, but you're really acting like
I'm
a
giving you
beast.
A chance to have a conversation with me. Tell me what Cantrell did specifically.
Like you are 0 for 2 against you. You pushed for the recall. You lost.
Tell me.
You push for the trash contract. You lost.
Yeah,
give her credit.
I'm not bigger I'm not bigger than Crooked Politics, Joe. I'm not bigger than Crooked Politics. So tell me specifically what Mayor Cantrell did to lower the murder rate.
She's doing something, right?
Well, no, tell me what it is. Tell me what it is. Tell me what it is.
That they had before her didn't do it.
Tell
so
me what it,
apparently she's doing something,
no,
right?
She hired Kirkpatrick.
You're minimizing, bro. You're minimizing.
No, I'm being
and
honest.
Sad. Like I said, you're really acting like a bitter bee. Right. And I'm not talking about the bee that stings or the bee that loves her.
All right, Joe, I'm going to always be honest about Cantrell. I didn't do this to her. She did it to us. And unless you can tell me something specific she did as mayor to lower the murder rate, that I'm going to continue to say what I believe, and that is that Ann Kirkpatrick and before her, Michelle Woodfork had started it. But this is a national trend. I'm glad it's happening in New Orleans, but it is a national trend, and that is good news for America. It's good news for New Orleans. But the best thing Cantrell did to lower the murder rate was hire Ann Kirkpatrick, who seems to be doing a phenomenal job. Mayor Cantrell is ripping us off. She goes on these trips as mayor of our city, and she does not come back and tell us what she learned and how it will benefit the city of New Orleans. She is traveling basically to either look for a job or have fun or just take advantage of it, because I believe she believes that she is queen of the city, and she's not. And she has turned her back on the many people who voted for her. And I think they're going to think twice before they vote for somebody in the upcoming election, October the 11th. Let's go to Joseph in Metairie. Joseph, you're on WWL.
Yeah, Scoot. I haven't called in several months. I hope Diane Newman and Jeff Landry and Liz Murrell is listening to what I got to say. The last time I called in, you call me a mother effer. And I told Eon that you should apologize
to me. That's not true, Joseph.
I cannot make him apologize.
That's
yes,
not true.
You did. I'm 79 years old.
I don't care. I don't care how old you. I never called you that, Joe. And I'm not going to let you say that.
I'm not that type of person.
Well,
I'm 79 years old.
Some of the stuff you call up with
Eon for you to apologize. And Eon told me I cannot make him apologize.
There's no Eon who works here. Ian works here.
Eon, whatever his name is.
Okay, Joe, you're out of touch. I never called you an MF.
I said you called me a mother effer.
Well,
and I hope Jeff Landry and Liz Murrell Diane Newman is listening.
You're a liar.
Not be on the air.
You're a liar. Joe, you're a liar, and now you're off the air. Don't call anymore. Don't take any more calls from Joe. Let me just tell the audience, you have never heard me call Joe or anybody an MF-er. Joe is maniacal, obviously. He's out of touch with reality. And I don't care who's listening to this show. I'm proud that anybody would be listening to this show. But I have never called anybody an MF-er. And if I called Joe an MF-er, he would have called back a lot sooner than months from now. There are people who are so entrenched in their political bias that they are not totally rational. I have never called anybody an MF-er. Oh, when driving, yeah, but never on the air.
There are tens of thousands of people listening right now. I mean, really. And I'm sure if you said that about somebody, many people would remember it, and we would be hearing about that, and we would have heard about it when it happened, and probably would have gotten a very sternly worded email about it. If I told Joe off the air that I cannot force you to apologize for something you said, that's true. I wouldn't want to do that. I can't do that to you. You don't need me to do that to you. I'm not your gatekeeper in that way. If you had called him an MRF-er, we would remember that.
That's not a thing
that you would ever do.
No, I have also apologized to people. And I guarantee you that even in a fit of anger, and I'm human, and sometimes I get angry because I get attacked a lot, and sometimes I get angry. Even in the fit of anger, if I did that, which I didn't do, but if I did that, I would have apologized, you know, out of the next break. But I've never called anybody an MF-er on the air. And it's a shame that people like Joe, I mean, we should have never let him on the air. But it's a shame that people like that make phone calls and make false statements to people. And Joe, if you're so right, first of all, that kind of language is not allowed on the air. I didn't even say MF-er. And I certainly didn't say it out completely, because that's not allowed. I would have been reprimanded immediately. But I've been in this business too long to do that. I'm too smart. I'm too smart to do that. But it's a shame that people like Joe can manifest their anger and charge people falsely. Donald Trump does this. He charges people falsely. Joe is charging me falsely with something that I did not say. And it's a shame, because maybe Joe, in his demented mind, maybe he believes it. Yes, Joe, I believe you have a demented mind. I think you're irrational. And to call this show and tell me and try to embarrass me in front of all of my listeners that I called you an MF-er, you're a liar. And you should be ashamed of yourself. And if you want to call anybody and tell them that I called you a liar, please do, because I want them to know that you're a liar.
I also hope that Jeff Landry and Liz Merle are listening, you know, so they can hear what we're about and they can come on our show.
Yeah.
We would love that. And, you know, to the point of him saying, I'm 79 years old. I'm thrilled, Joe. I'm glad that you are still with us. That is a ripe old age, and I hope you're doing well. You know, I'll give up my seat on the bus for you. I'll let you go in front of me in line at the cafeteria. I will hold open the door for you. But just because you have been around the sun 79 times does not mean that you don't have to listen, or that you get to impugn people and say that they said things that they would never have said and not expect any pushback. Like, we're not going to just lay down and let you do that. You know, it's like, it's not how this works.
That's right.
You get what you give.
That's right. Thank you for that. Yeah. All right, now let's try to recover from that, okay? Let's try to put that behind us and not let that take the show.
Two real winners right in a row.
I mean, it's you know, it's the weekend. It's free for all Friday on the show. So let's enjoy this Friday, and we're heading into the weekend, and you know, I'm looking forward to a great weekend. So we're putting that beside us, and if you want to join us with a comment, the Okanard Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. And the question is, what has woke done to you? We're coming back with your text messages on WWL.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
On the Scoot on the Air calendar, on this day in 1981, Air Supply became the first Australian band to have a number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100 chart with this song, The One That You Love. It reached number one. They would go on to have 7 consecutive hits in the top 5. Man, I remember back in the late 70s, maybe around 80, I would put this song on, I mean, this album on, put the album on, like, every Saturday, and we would clean house to friggin' Air Supply blaring in the house. Air Supply. They were huge. I'm Scoot on the air. Let's go to Eon and some text messages.
Yeah, Eon. Here's the text that says, where'd it go? Hang on a second. Joe called Merle Norman earlier and gave him a hard time because he's friends with Mark Morial. Okay.
All right, look, if Joe called Merle Norman and was mad at him because he's friends with Mark Morial. First of all, I don't know if Merle is friends with Mark Morial, but if Joe's just calling both talk shows, if he's calling talk shows to just bitch and rant, Joe, honestly, man, dude, I think you need help. I mean, I hope you seek some counseling. I mean, there's something not right. If that's your mission to just say random things. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe they are friends. Merle Norman was in the Jefferson Parish Police Department, I'm sure, when Mark Morial was mayor of New Orleans, and, you know, maybe they did know each other. But, I mean, whatever. But what you called our show with was a total lie and a misrepresentation of the truth. So please don't call us again. But please, you know, please get help, because I think there's something not right. All right, let's go to Jeff, who's in Mid-City. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scott, haven't had a chance to talk to you, but been listening to you a lot. I just want you to know that I'm 76.
Okay.
And I don't know why Joe thinks 79 gives him the entitlement to whatever he thinks he's entitled to. Now, I will say, I'm angry at a lot of things going on in this world, but to lose it like he did, as you said, you really need some serious help. I did, and I got it.
Yeah, good. I mean, I see somebody
anyhow,
once in a while.
The whole woke thing, it has absolutely destroyed my life. I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah,
I think that's my point. Woke to me just means thinking about what you say and having a little respect for who and what you're dealing with. That's really all it is being respectful of the other people and persons around you.
And I don't see how that's a bad thing for TV to
it's a terrible thing for people like Joe for TV.
I know, for TV to reflect the audience, everybody in the audience. I mean, can you imagine being an African American and watching the shows that I watched when I was, you know, young growing up in the 60s? You know, those shows didn't have any black people in them. And yet, you know, a lot of black people watch those shows. You know, there's nothing wrong with TV reflecting the audience.
Let me say one more thing.
Yeah.
When Mad Men first came on the air, I couldn't watch it because I was so offended how men were treating women back in the 50s and 60s.
But it was true.
And I cut on because it was a good show.
Yeah, it was true. And the drinking that went on in offices, I mean, that was my dad's generation, and they did that stuff. They did.
Yeah. And also, I'm a Jewish gay man, so I've had to deal with a lot of discrimination in my life. And you know what? I just move on.
Yeah. Good for you, Jeff.
I just move on and try to live a respectful life, because it's really a cultural difference is the problem. I have no problem with other people at all, but sometimes the culture is not something I want to be a part of, and I have a right. But out in life in general, I am respectful to everyone.
Yeah. And I don't know why that's a bad thing. I'll tell you something else that is very woke. Have you seen the plus size models at Victoria's Secret? If you go to Lakeside or Oakwood and you see Victoria's Secret and you see the plus size mannequins, that's reflective of real life. What's wrong with?
They look like normal people to me.
Right. I know. What's wrong with making it seem like, you know, people who have a little bigger than other people? What's wrong with saying that they should be wearing sexy underwear too? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but that's woke. That's woke. So let's say you've got a wife that looks like that. You don't want your wife to be reflected. So are you? So I guess the point is, Jeff, that a lot of people are for things that are woke, and maybe they don't even realize it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Jeff, good luck, and I do appreciate the call. I want to go to Ebron?
Eon.
Let's go to Eon and get some text messages about how woke has affected people.
Rich in Houma is listening, and he says, woke is an insult to my common sense understanding of basic biology and not allowing me to be proud of my white, male, Christian heterosexuality without fear of repercussion.
Okay. But I would ask this person, what repercussions? You can be white, you can be a Christian, you can be a male. What is somebody going to do to you because of those things? And I would suggest nothing.
If somebody made you feel badly about being white, male, Christian, heterosexual, or any combination therein, I'm sorry that that happened to you. Those are things that people shouldn't be made
right.
to feel bad about. It is maybe also possible, maybe not for Rich and Homa in this specific example, but people will often push back or somehow find a way to otherize or denigrate people who are not white, male, Christian, heterosexuals. And when they get pushback from the people that they are stepping on, they view it as a attack on their Christianity or their heterosexuality or the color of their skin or their gender expression. If you're a jerk about what other people's skin color is or who they love or what religion they practice, and they are mean to you in return, that is not you being oppressed on the basis of your skin color or religion or your gender or your sexuality. You know what I mean? Like there's a clear distinction here.
And
if somebody's coming up to you on the seat saying, hey, a white Christian straight man, here's 10 reasons why you guys suck. Then, I feel bad for you that happened, but I'm going to guess that's not at all what happened.
But let me ask the texter this. Have you been walking down the street and a car drives by and somebody shouts out the window, hey, you white heterosexual male Christian, you suck. Has that happened?
When have you ever been made to feel afraid or concerned that you might lose your job or that you might get kicked out of your house or your church because you're a white, male, straight Christian? When has that ever happened to anyone?
You see, but this is what we talk about when we talk about the conservative media echo chamber. They're making people like this guy mad. They're making him angry. They're making him feel like that he is being suppressed, that he's being judged. And look, I am a white, male, Christian, heterosexual. I'm speaking from firsthand experience. Nobody has made me feel embarrassed to be white. Nobody has made me embarrassed to be a male, Christian, or a heterosexual. Nobody. And I suggest that is a myth in your mind, that you've created this idea that people are against you when there's really no ramifications of you being a white, male, Christian, heterosexual. Nothing bad has happened to you. And I don't think anything bad would happen to you as a result of that. And, you know, just don't make up a problem when there's no problem there. And so I think this is a bogus explanation of how woke has hurt somebody.
Again, I'm not saying that this is specific to what happened to Rich in Houma that made him feel that way, that he wanted to text in. If you are wielding your religion, your sexuality, your gender, your skin color as a weapon against other people,
That's different.
They don't like that, you should not be surprised when they come back at you. And no, it's only a problem when they're punching back. Okay, now I get it.
Yeah.
I'll leave you with this one. Here's a text that says, woke has ruined movies. Disney, Marvel is the perfect example. The most recent Snow White movie was a flop. Star Wars movies and streaming services, streaming series all underperforming because of woke storylines. Can we have a movie without a girl boss? I'm all for strong women characters. Ripley in the original Alien movie was a great character, but she was not featured at the expense of the male characters in the movie. Even the last Indiana Jones had Harrison Ford playing a shadow of himself. Woke ruined movies.
Okay, no, it didn't. Every movie's not for you. And if you like the old movies, then watch the old movies. You don't have to go to the movie. And there's enough advance information that a movie might be woke, but that movie might be appealing to people that somebody they're not appealing to you. That's okay. There are movies that appeal to you that don't appeal to others. It's all subjective. So again, I suggest that this is a bogus way that woke has somehow hurt somebody, that it's ruined movies. You don't have to go to a movie. You go out of choice. We have all, throughout history, we've gone to movies, and we get to the end of the movie, and we say, that movie sucked. That's nothing new. That's not a result of being woke. So if you don't like what you hear about a movie, don't go, but there's no requirement to go to movies, and you know, there's no quota, like, well, I have to go to movies and I have to sit through. No, that's a choice you make. So that's not a good example of woke somehow affecting.
It's true that Snow White flopped. I don't know that you could point to the fact that it was, quote unquote, woke. The Little Mermaid was also woke and it did great.
Very successful.
I don't know what you're talking about with the Star Wars movies and streaming series all underperforming, because I think that would come as a great surprise to the people who make those movies and the studios that distribute them. You know, I think Snow White flopped because it's an old ass story that doesn't connect with young people anymore. And the live action Disney remakes, the magic has quite gone away from those, and they should stop making them.
Yeah. All right, we got to get to a break here. If you want to join us with a comment, I'd love to hear from you. But I mean, think about it before you regurgitate, or before you echo back, you know, what you've been told by conservative media about how woke has affected your life. Tell me how it's really affected your life. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. Okay, let's continue this conversation. Coming up in the next hour, we'll also talk about South Park, and is Donald Trump going to target South Park now? But since there's so much talk about woke, how has woke impacted your life in a negative way? I'm Scoot. We'll be back.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.